Over the years as a Christian, I have been studying the end times, and I also studied secular ideas on what will happen to the earth. And during the 90s and early 80s, I was listening to people, and they were explaining what we're experiencing right now. I kind of thought it was far-fetched in those days, but I put it in my heart and wondered if that's going to ever take place. Because I knew and realized that this was going to happen during the hour of the tribulation. But what these secular prophets were talking about didn't quite meet the criteria of the Great Tribulation. There are going to be certain people who are going to be ruling this planet, they said. And they had some interesting ideas on how people will divide the world into 10 parts. They took some of it out of the book of Revelation, I'm sure. But when you really study it closely, you begin to understand that somehow Satan was going to sabotage the move of God. He was going to try to stop the outpouring of the Holy Spirit by bringing in a one-world government before time, before its time. Before the Antichrist can come on the scene, there's got to be an end-time harvest. And before the end-time harvest can come to pass, there's got to be an outpouring of the latter rain. And that is what we're going to start seeing. We can see it with the people of the whole world raging and renting. Yes, God has to pour out His Spirit upon the nations, for He owns them. They're His. There are parts of this world that have not seen the light of God for centuries. And they're full of paganism and idol worshiping. When you talk to them about God being a just God that will judge the earth, they don't even want to listen. Many in North America don't want to hear the warnings of the gospel, of the doctrines of the Bible. When we study these things, we can understand why. There is one a Christian that put out 4 doctrines of the Bible that the secular world hates the most. And I will start from 4, from the 4th back to the 1st. The 4th one is homosexuality. People do not want to hear that it is an abomination before God. It is written in the scripture that homosexuality is an abomination. And then he said the third one is that man is a sinner. Usually people think that human beings are naturally good. But the Bible teaches us that the man is naturally evil. He will gravitate towards evil. And eventually he will have to be separated from God. He said it's like this. When you have we are all in a boat, and that boat is sinking. And along comes a lifeboat, and if we don't get on that lifeboat, we will all perish. And that lifeboat is Jesus. Many people don't want to admit that, or don't even want to hear about it, that Jesus is the way. And we are all sinners by nature. And then the second last one that they don't like is that Jesus is the only way into the kingdom. There are many who teach there are many ways into heaven. But the Bible teaches us that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And the last one, the first one they hate the most, is the doctrine of hell. Many in the Christian churches are starting to teach there is no hell, or that hell will be only for a couple of thousand years. But the Bible teaches us that hell, the lake of fire, is going to be for the rest of eternity. And today I will teach on this subject. We need to understand that hell is a place where all unrepentant sinners are put if they reject God, because God needs a place for them. So today I'll teach on this, and before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name, and I pray, O God, that you will anoint this message. You will open people's hearts to the truth and the signs of the times. I thank you for your grace, and I ask you to bless the listener in Jesus' name. Amen. When you watch different people teaching and preaching on TV or on the internet, they will claim that there is no hell. Why would a loving God send people to hell? Well, this loving God does not send people to hell. They send themselves, because God has created the human race. And he also created two places. One is the lake of fire that is prepared for the devil and his angels. And the other is the heavenly kingdom where God resides. And we need to understand every person has a choice to make. Does he want to side with God, or does he want to side with Satan? Because Satan is the arch enemy of God, he has his special place. And that's going to be the lake of fire, where he is going to be forgotten. The Bible teaches us they will be without purpose and will be forgotten. How long will they last? How long will that punishment last? It's going to be for the rest of eternity. And the reason that is, man and the devils and Satan were created as a eternal being. They will never cease to exist. So we need to understand that God has a place for them. And God is warning, you shouldn't go to this place of everlasting punishment. It is your choice if you go. You can either accept Jesus as your Savior. That's what a Savior means. You're safe from the eternal lake of fire. Or you, by rejecting that Savior, will have to be separated from God, where you will spend your rest of eternity with Satan. Jesus himself taught more about hell than anybody that has written a book in the Bible. In Luke chapter 12, he tells us in verse 4, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that they have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him that after he has killed has power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Many in the church will teach that's the devil. The devil doesn't throw anybody into hell. He may entice you to go there, but he hasn't got the power to put anybody into hell, because he's going to be put there himself. So it is God that can kill the body and cast you into hell, not Satan. So God is warning, don't worry about too much about them that kill the body, but worry about the one that is able to kill you and put you into hell. So God is warning everyone, there is a time of separation coming. In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 29, he tells us this, and if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that a whole body should be cast in hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not the whole body should be cast into hell. So if you have a problem with lusts of the flesh, Jesus said, it is better to to rip off your arm than go into hell. He says, if your eye offend thee, if your eye is drawn to sin and to ungodly things, if you like watching pornography, it is better to pluck out your eyes. That's an interesting statement. Cast it from thee, than going being cast into hell. So these things will bring people into hell, but it's not the pornography or any of those things that have the power to cast you into hell. It is Jesus that does that when you reject him. But Jesus also says, I will not judge you. Moses will judge you. And by that he means the law of God will judge. If people don't accept Jesus as their Savior, the Bible teaches men were dead in trespasses and sin, and they need a Savior. And he said, such were some of you. Now you are washed. Now you are cleansed. Now you have been made whole by the precious blood of Jesus. So God is offering us a way out of there. And the reason a person is attracted to these sinful things is because he by nature is a sinner, and he will be attracted to them. We are sinners, not because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. That's what it is. A dog barks because he's a dog. You don't have to teach him to bark. He does it naturally. This is why we sin naturally. It's because we're born in trespasses and sin, and God wants to change us, to save us, to regenerate us, not reform us, regenerate us, completely make us something different. God doesn't reform people. He translates us into the kingdom of his Son. He doesn't just change us. He makes us something completely different. That's what we need to understand. Is hell real? Listen to Luke chapter 16 in verse 22. This story is about a rich man and a beggar called Lazarus, who was a beggar at the rich man's table. It tells us in Luke chapter 16 in verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and he was buried. And he, in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am in torment in this place. So he was in torment. He felt fire. It was hot, but he wasn't even allowed a drop of water to cool his tongue. And we also have to remember, the rich man doesn't even have a name. The beggar was given a name called Lazarus. Why wasn't the rich man given a name? Because with God, he does not exist anymore. That is something we need to understand. God will forget you. Once you're cast into hell, into the lake of fire, God will forget you. Was there anybody else that went to hell in the Old Testament? We all heard of Jonah and the whale. The Bible teaches us in Jonah chapter 2 in verse 1. He tried to flee away from God, and then he prayed when the fish swallowed him. In Jonah chapter 2, it says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. Cried I, and thou heardest my voice. When Jonah was cast into the sea, the fish swallowed him. How long do you think a person will live in a fish's belly? Not very long. There's no oxygen there. So Jonah must have died and went to hell. He said, I cried from you out of the belly of hell. He didn't listen to God's command, and that's where he went. And Jonah in chapter 2, verse 6 explains what hell looks like. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. He experienced the everlasting lostness of a person who goes to hell. He experienced that, and he cried out to God, Yes, thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee in thy holy temple. It tells here that my soul fainted within me. He also explains that he experienced the bars in the earth. That's bars like a prison. And they were there. He was there forever. He experienced the everlasting condemnation of somebody that never has any hope anymore. But he cried out to God, and God rescued him out of hell. Will people come out of hell when they cry out to God? If you reject Jesus as your Savior, then you will not remember this God that wanted to save you. Jonah remembered God. He remembered that he was fleeing from him. So he was able to cry out. But if you reject the one that saves you, you will not even remember that he exists. And forever and ever, those who are cast into the eternal lake of fire will stay there. So open your heart to Jesus now, for tomorrow can be far too late. Let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing. Amen.
I'm nearing holy ranks of praise.
one of the reasons Jonah still remembered God and was able to cry out for him to be delivered is because that God still remembered Jonah. But one of the things we have to understand, the rich man in the story did not even have a name. So God did not even know who he was anymore. So how can you call out to somebody that you rejected and that somebody whom you're calling to doesn't even remember you? That's going to be the horror of hell for the rest of eternity. People will understand that they are never going to escape again. Jonah was able to escape because he belonged to God and God remembered him. So, is there a lake of fire? Is there a judgment? Yes, a great judgment is coming. People don't seem to understand that one of these days, God is going to judge every human being on the planet. The devil and his angels, they're judged already. They already understand where they're going to go. That's why they're trembling in fear. But the human being doesn't seem to understand or take to heart that there is a judgment ahead. He still has time to repent before he dies. He needs just to open his heart to Jesus. And God willing, none shall perish, will bring him out of that kingdom of darkness and put him into his own kingdom. In Revelation chapter 20, in verse 11, it tells us this. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. So that's going to be at the end of the millennial period when everything will be over. All people will have made their choices. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. So are we written in the book of life? I know I am. I know my name is there. I ask you the question. Are you written in the Lamb's book of life? Remember, Jesus said, I will not judge you. But there is one that will judge you. That's Moses. How will Moses judge people? It's not going to be Moses himself. It is the book of the law that he wrote that will judge you. Already you can know whether you're going to hell or not. Just read the five books of Moses. Read the Ten Commandments. If you're a sinner, you're going to hell. If you're not a sinner, then you're not. And how do you escape from being a sinner? By accepting Jesus as your Savior. It says, and I saw another book which was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things that were written in the books, according to their works. The books explained, if you're not living righteously, if you're not pure and holy, that's what the Bible teaches, you're going to be judged accordingly. So if you don't have Jesus, you're not pure and holy. You will be judged according to your works. It says, and the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them. Hell is a place for now, which is kind of like a prison cell where people are kept until the time of judgment. The sea gives up their dead. And even those who are cremated will come back to life. Yes, everybody will stand before God in judgment. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The book of life is there for all of us to write our names in there. You have the power to write your name in the book of life. How do you do that? You accept Jesus as your Savior, and then you give him the power to put your name in the book of life. He covets to put your name there. He is willing that none shall perish. He says, there is life and there is death. Choose life. God is a loving God. He doesn't want you to be separated from him. You were created for his pleasure. But if you're going to reject him, he will not force you to be with him in heaven. He will separate himself from you for the rest of eternity. That's what he promises in this book. You don't want me? Then we are going to be separated. And the worst thing is, he will wipe the tears from his eyes, because he will have tears as he sends his creation into the eternal lake of fire. He loved them, but then he will put them all out of his memory and never ever think of them again. God has the power to do that. So there's still hope today. Turn to Jesus. Do not allow this time to pass you, because this time that we have now is never coming back. So open your heart and become a blessing to yourself in Jesus' name. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. You can also reach us online at reachingoutministries.com. That's reachingoutministries.com. You are my strength when I